2016 can't come to an end soon enough. With the election of a fascist Russian puppet as president, the Zika virus, Brexit, police shootings, Syria, and the losses of beloved entertainers, this year has been a never-ending barrage of horrible news.
Besides all this, Feast of Fun faced numerous obstacles, and even the Joan Waters episode of Cooking with Drag Queens ran into difficulty. But through a Christmas miracle, we have a piping hot Cooking with Drag Queens pizza party with Joan Waters.
Today, Joan Waters, a drag queen who describes herself as having bad credit and herpes, joins us to talk about the making of her episode of Cooking with Drag Queens. Listen as Joan reveals to us, for the first time, her very personal journey of self-discovery.
Plus, Chicago drag queens take us on a musical romp through drag history.
Puerto Rican psychic astrologer Walter Mercado does a 2001 Space Odyssey inspired ad for Doritos.
And 100 Dutch drag queens pay tribute to holiday classic songs in 100 Drag Queens United.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
This holiday season, don't leave Feast of Fun out in the cold. Give the gift of 12 years of amazing podcasts. Become a Plus member at feastoffun.com/plus.
Make a donation at feastoffun.com/donate.
Or check out our store, feastoffun.com/store.
Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas.
Hello?
Joan.
Joan.
Merry Christmas, Joan Waters.
oh how festive, Fausto.
Hello.
Hi. This is the first time I've recorded with you guys and not been in the room, and you have no idea how disorienting it is to not know what you're doing.
Well, who am I? Where's the show? Am I a drag queen?
I'm hearing bells or something.
Like, yes.
Why are you clothed this time?
I am clothed.
So this is the first podcast you've taped with us where you kept on all your clothes.
I know, yeah. People are going to have to go back and listen and really imagine the horror of my naked body.
Let's fill people in on your story. For the last couple of years, you sort of became this sensation on Reddit's Lip Sync for Your Life contest. You came on our show, everybody loves you, and you felt like you hit a wall in the drag scene here in town, and you moved back home to Tennessee.
Yes, and not all sensations are good sensations, I'd like to say. So I might have been a Reddit sensation, but yeah, I moved back home, and I've just been doing a lot of soul searching, and I've been away from drag for a couple months now. Doing the Reddit Lip Sync for Your Life All-Stars season, which is just finished. And just trying to get myself mentally and physically healthy.
So you're sort of like Rocky Balboa in the third Rocky movie where he had been defeated. And so he went back to his roots and trained to come back leaner, stronger, and meaner than ever.
Right. I'm nothing like Rocky Balboa, first of all.
I've seen you punch dead meat.
I'm a lot more like Kristen Wiig and Bridesmaids.
So what if you have like a photo in your bathroom or your makeup mirror that you look at and you're like, I'm gonna crush you?
What do you mean?
Well, Rocky, trainers and competitors and entertainers, they always have like a little, you know, photo of something in their mirror to remind them every day the goals, not only of what they want to accomplish, but who they want to crush and defeat.
I don't have a photo of anybody. I just have like a Microsoft Word printout that says inner saboteur.
Your inner saboteur has now become your outer saboteur.
I don't know about all that. Yeah. I've just been a lot more thoughtful about my path in life, I think. That's the one thing that I've been really focused on.
Yeah. We've always adored you. We love having you on the show. And so we've started filming a Cooking with Drag Queens episode. I think it was like last year.
Well,
we started in February.
Oh, okay.
And so throughout the months, as we started filming, we ran into a lot of like technical glitches alongside Joan winning one contest after another after another.
I know. For America's Lovable Loser Drag Queen, you kept winning shit.
I know. It kind of completely confronts my idea of being like a loser or an underdog, because I don't know how this happens so many times in my life. Wow. I must just be really lucky.
Well, sometimes, you know, we don't realize like how well we're doing until we're like things get even worse. And it's kind of like 2016 is sort of reminded us to, you know, hold on tight to the people that stand by us and adore us, and to really, you know, stand back and appreciate what you got, because Obama, for all his shortcomings, has been a pretty amazing president. And now we're going to face probably like 2 years of Trump.
I don't even know if he'll become president.
I don't know if he'll become president, but
it would be unprecedented if he.
You know why he's doing that? He's trying to distract us from the fact that he's a Nazi Russian puppet.
Mm.
It's like a plot line on 30 Rock, honestly. I feel like Alec Baldwin, for all his hating Trump, is actually making him more likable. He's just like a buffoon now.
Yeah, he's a character from a TV show, mm-hmm. and unfortunately we have to live with him. And so, you know, 2016, I mean, just so many countless things, and we personally, Mark and I, ran into so many obstacles that, you know, questioned the ability to do this podcast and to continue our videos and everything. And
you guys have to continue.
We have to. I know. And so I was like, I've been working on your episode of Cooking with Drag Queens for the last 3 months. And every Jesus. Time I'm getting ready to finish it, some awful fucking train wreck car accident thing happened. And finally, like last week, I was like, this is it. We're going to get in ready in time for Christmas. And it crashed. And just like that episode of the Brady Bunch where Carol Brady loses her voice and miraculously on Christmas Day, she gets it back. I was able to save all this corrupted data miraculously. Really, it was a miracle, a Christmas miracle. And that's why I was like, we have to do this show. Joan Waters is Cooking with Drag Queens, making a pizza party. A macaroni and cheese pizza is up, and it is amazing.
It's a Christmas miracle, Joan.
Yay! So let's give ourselves an applause.
Yay!
It was really
something to watch, honestly. How long ago did we film that?
Well, like we filmed the cooking episode, I think, in July, right?
Yeah.
And then and some of the other stuff, you know, starting in February, March, and April, we filmed some of it as well.
July. That's so crazy July. To me.
So this is kind of the same phenomena that is this kind of time dilation or distortion that reality TV show participants and drag queens from Drag Race experience, where, you know, there are a certain point in their lives and then Drag Race is over. Then, you know, 6 months, a year passes by and then the show goes on the air and they sort of like to relive a lot of those good and bad moments of their lives.
I have to tell you guys, it really gave me like a lot of context on where I was, because I know that I moved here like 4 months ago, like moved back home, but it made me really reconsider like where I was at that point. I don't think I was in a very healthy place.
Well, we did make macaroni and cheese pizza, so it's and not the healthiest of food options.
That's always a beautiful thing. Mm. It was really weird to see myself like that, because I look different, number one, and I'm like super healthy.
What's the difference? What do you think's happening?
You know what? I don't know. I've been kind of, man, this is going to get real. I've been exploring my gender identity since I moved back. And I think that drag was a really safe place for me to explore that without actually really thinking about it.
Are you saying you don't identify as cisgendered, that you identify as genderqueer or trans?
I don't know where I'm falling on the spectrum right now. and I'm trying to be really thoughtful about that exploration. I wasn't really living like a full true life. And a lot of my friends, I have to give people credit. A big part, I think, of why I moved away was the fact that I was really scared of that.
Wow. This is the first time this is news to me as much as it is to anybody else.
I've talked to one person about this, and I'm trying to be a little bit more open about it because there really isn't like a rule book for it or like a delineated like actual path. And I find it all really confusing, like honestly, but I've really like kind of retraced my life in the last like 2 weeks, and it's been like a cloud.
Yeah, I mean I feel you. It's like you were telling me you felt like kind of dejected by your community, and is that still holding true, or is that?
I think I pushed them away because I was really scared.
Huh.
And I don't know if that's true or not. You know what I mean? I don't know where the truth lies, because there is no objective truth. But like I had friends who it was like this touchy subject that we didn't talk about really. And I don't think we ever really openly talked about it because I was so resistant.
It's sort of an interesting irony that for a lot of gender nonconforming performers, especially people who call themselves drag queens, over doing this show for 12 years and being a drag queen myself for 25 years, I've seen a lot of people sort of, you're so close to this idea that your gender is something you can take on and off and it's malleable and stuff. But there's this other side of you that's not malleable. And at the same time, doesn't match people's expectations. And so as you start revealing that to yourself and to other people, it really fucks with your mind, because you're like, who is the real me?
Yeah, that's definitely part of it. Watching the episode, I was so dedicated and I want to say that like I was throwing myself into drag kind of furiously and sort of just like not interested in living my own life. Mm. Does that make sense? I mean,
you were basically living gig for gig, and you felt like your own well-being was compromised somehow?
Yeah, and that's not to say that like that's how everybody is about it, because I don't think that's the case. For me, I was like I feel like I was wearing a mask.
And so now the mask is coming off.
Yeah, and it's terrifying. And I don't
We knew what you look like underneath all that. You're not surprising. Especially young people come out as trans or bi or gay or lesbian to their family, gender queer. Some families are like, I had no idea. But other families are like, oh, we knew all along. And it's like, well, if you knew all along, why don't you say something and make things easier on me? And then the parents are like, I did. You just weren't listening.
Right. But you can't tell somebody something before they're not ready.
Yeah. Right.
So and can I mean, you like, sort of put it into words, or do you identify as any kind of label, or are you just kind of exploring that right now?
I'm exploring that right now. And I mean, I've always been kind of terrified of labels themselves, but I'm doing like a ton of just thinking about it and soul searching. And honestly, like if anybody's listening that, you know, is close to me or like drag queens, like I'm sorry if I was rude. Honestly, like
I think you have to apologize to that drag queen who dressed up as Raggedy Andy. You remember that? You fought. You like punched her in the like. I think you ripped off her wig or something.
No, you've got that backwards. She ripped.
Or she attacked
my wig
you.
And yeah, it's so weird because that's like a butterfly effect thing on some level. It's sort of like it's weird how such a small thing can like set you on a path. And I almost kept doing drag because I was so mad about that one thing.
Like, really? When that happened. Was to prove them right or wrong.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I'm really interested in like living for me, as selfish as that sounds. Like I want to find a place where like I can feel happy about where I'm at and I'm not like living a lie. You know what I mean?
A Nazi alt-right Russian fascist puppet is about to take is probably likely becoming our president.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and everyone's kind of talking about the fact that it's like, oh, he's taking over the government. He's going to, you know, we're going to have another September 11th. He's going to undo all the LGBT equality, the little progress that we've had. He's going to undo this. We're going to lose our health care. We're going to lose, the economy is going to destroy. But what people don't realize is that that's just the government. With Trump sort of emboldening all these assholes and all these foreign operatives, they're coming after like the owners of all our businesses that do right by us in this country. So right now, for all the LGBT folks that are listening to this, you gotta get your batteries charged, train and be healthy and get a good night's sleep, because 2016 is just the beginning of a very difficult road ahead for all of us. But at the same time, we have each other. Diversity and our community has always been the strongest resource that we have, and we shall overcome this stuff.
You have to be healthy. Like, you have to have some respect for your own body and your mind. It's such a terrifying time to live in anyway.
Yeah.
It's like, what's the point of denying anything? You know what I mean? Like, not living fully.
Yeah. You gotta, you know, all that Oprah stuff, it's like, there's some truth to that.
Exactly.
You know, 2016 is pretty rotten year. I mean, we lost some beloved celebrities and entertainers, Prince, David Bowie, Florence Henderson, Alan Thicke.
My mom had a coworker that just died, so it's not just celebrities.
Beryl Mendelbaum, who co-writes Lady Bunny's shows with her, she posted a status update that said, I just deleted Lady Chablis, Holly Woodlawn, and Alexis Arquette. Not one of these jealous, self-centered bitches has liked any of my posts in more than a month.
That's terrible, so dark. Meryl.
And then there's this meme going around as like, me in 2016, end of 2016 me, and then me in 2017.
Yeah, and it's all sorts of people from different movies and things. One's of, like, Diana Ross coming out, and then she's, like, in this fabulous coat. And then the rest, I forget what the movie is from, but she looks all disheveled and crazy.
And basically, 2017 is the scene in the movie where they're sort of, like, you know, packing heat and ready to do battle.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, we're so, you know, this year has been so hard on everybody. And the people are like, I'm going to get into my fighting mode, and I'm going to make 2017... into something, because, you know, all these, you know, Trump's emboldened, all his crazies are emboldened. So I suggest to everybody else, you know, don't let that freak you out. If they're all about freedom and do what you want to do, then, you know, let that freak flag fly and you be you and do whatever it is you want to do.
It's an 80s montage moment.
It is.
Like, we get to really prepare for something, you know, and, yeah, like, improve ourselves. Like,
let's all go into the closet, try on outfits, and then
there's no coincidence that Walter Mercado, Puerto Rico, the Liberace of Puerto Rico, he's a psychic astrologer he's been on television my entire life.
Because he's, what, 80-something, right?
He's up there.
He's 85.
He's not long for this world. He's going to pass onto the astral plane soon himself. And my father used to watch him on television all the time. And he's a very gender nonconforming, ambiguous figure. And he's always been in the top. I think he has, like, this lifetime relationship with the tabloid press, you know, especially since Latin American, you know, news and journalism is very much more tabloidish than American news is. So he says, they always interview them and they ask him, are you gay? Are you trans or stuff? And he says, I am not gay, because to be gay, I would mean that I would have to be in love with another man. And I am in love with the entire universe. I don't have anyone in my bed, not even a little pussy cat. Meow.
That's
in Spanish.
Yeah. It sounds better in Spanish.
I believe this was in the early 90s. He and Vicki Lawrence had a psychic friends network to rival Dionne Warwick's. Mm. And they would have these really awkward, wonderfully awkward infomercials. Well, Walter Mercado's main language is not English, and Vicki Lawrence's main language is not Spanish. And the two of them are trying to communicate and talk about the benefits of Walter Mercado's Psychic Friends Network. Well, it turns out then later on that he was taken to the cleaners by the company that started all this and you licensed his name, and he never got a penny from that business deal.
How wild. He had to change his name
for a while, right?
I think so, yeah. To Shanti.
Yeah, something, yeah, it was
kind of wild. One of those, you know, Prince, Sony Records kind of thing. So fast forward to 20, so recently he's sort of like, you know, because of us talking about on the podcast and other people on the internet, he's kind of become a cult sensation again. And
interesting.
So Doritos and trying to create an ad that basically is trying to fuck with the Latino audience, puts him in a salon where he eyeballs a gold spacesuit. And then we get this montage of Walter Mercado in a 2001 Space Odyssey where he travels through time and he transforms from his body the way it is into this young, somewhat gender ambiguous feminine form, and then ultimately transforms into stars in the sky at look upon down a heterosexual couple, and they're like, Walter Mercado's looking at us while we're eating Doritos.
And he's winking. But the best scene is like he's in this gold lame outfit, you know, as an astronaut floating in space and with these Doritos floating, and he's just chomping on them. And it's totally right out of The Simpsons when Homer went into space and he was like, what was Homer eating in space? Was
potato chips.
Potato chips. Yeah, it was like,
sounds like some real like Barbarella realness.
Oh, it was hysterical. It's the best thing that Walter Mercado has ever done.
It's one of the top five best things of 2016. And this is all coming out right now. It's like the video goddesses of if you like gender ambiguous stuff, drag queens and queer stuff and videos, we have Joan Waters' Cooking with Drag Queens up. We have Walter Mercado's Dorito ad, which is amazing. And here in Chicago, Imp Queen, Lucy Stuhl, the Vixen, and a musician by the name Dorian Electra, and a bunch of other drag queens have put out a video today, again, going on a musical romp through drag's history, and it doesn't
suck.
It's
so good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It is good. It is amazing.
It's actually really slick and beautiful, great production values, amazing sets, great sound, great lighting. Dorian Electra's song is actually really good.
Yeah.
It's great.
And the thing is like when you hear that there's a drag queen video, it's there's always like the hair on the back of your neck goes up and you're with trepidation because you're never actually prepared for how bad it's going to be. You know what I mean? Right. You're like, oh, this
you
is
never it's like it's you really terrible. Never know,
you know, and then you watch this and you're just like, this is actually really fucking good.
You're like, which one of these queens is going to get in RuPaul's Drag Race,
you know, because of it.
Yeah,
and I swear.
My bets are on Imp Queen, the Vixen, well, and Lucy Stuhl, you know. But I would say
all three of the girls that were.
Yeah. Well, there's a bunch of other drag queens
in there, but those are the ones that had the rapping parts.
Yeah,
I swear.
It's a cisgendered woman that's the other person, right? Is that right?
I don't know what Dorian Electra's gender identity, but she has some nice knockers. So
okay.
With duct tape.
If Vixen isn't on Drag Race at some point, like, what's the point of anything?
Well, and then, you know? And then people are going to go once again going, those two guys made gumbo and they put muscles in them? Be gone!
I mean you got to let people with drag think queens what they is. Think.
You know. Well, yeah, and, you know, more power to you.
You know, I'm going to make a video called Fuck You, Louisiana, and I'm going to make gumbo the way I want, and every ingredient, I'm going to put it, I'm like, fuck you, Louisiana.
And you're going to put your dick in it. You're going to put
your dick in it. There are going to be people who think that mac and cheese pizza is also bullshit, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure. Like, macaroni and cheese does not go on
my
pizza.
Recipe is much better. Why didn't you make it? And I'm like,
but you were into it.
Yeah. I swear to God,
that thing
pie.
Was delicious. I did eat the whole thing.
And how blown away were you when you've discovered how to make macaroni and cheese the easy way?
I thought we were going to talk about how my toilet got blown away because I ate the whole pizza.
Oh.
I mean, honestly, my face in the video says it all. Mm. I mean, you guys got me a little drunk, which is always fine with me. And then I had this look of like Christmas morning awe. As we were making everything, and I like forgot about the other pizza. There was a lot of magic in the room.
Let's talk about your drag, because this was Ronald McDonald realness, I guess. And I didn't realize that you had this kind of like meme going on, mask for Max Donald's.
Yeah, it was a thing that I put on, it was a hashtag I put on all of my pictures on Instagram for a while. And then also I did a solo show in a theater called Mask for Mass Donalds.
Can you explain people what that means exactly? Because it's a hookup app kind of response to you only want, you know, a masculine man and sissy boys and girls and drag queens need not apply.
Right. It was like a subversion of the idea of the fact that masculine guys only want to sleep with masculine guys. And then also adding into the fact that another popular hashtag is no fats, no femmes.
Mm-hmm.
And basically combining that with Mask for Mask and saying, like, bitch, I eat a lot of fast food. That's my life.
Hey, you know what? Those 99-cent ice cream cones at McDonald's do me right.
Triglycerides are very important to me.
That's too many syllables for me.
Like, the McDonald's that's in our neighborhood is actually populated by a lot of drag queens, like Kimchi and Shea Coulee and Trixie Mattel have eaten many, many, many meals.
Dixieland Cartwright lives above it.
Yeah.
I'm like, do you actually smell McDonald's in your apartment? She's just kind of like, yeah.
The real life Hamburglar.
Turd burglar.
And so, you know, I think Cooking with Drag Queens has done drag queens a lot of good, actually, you know, in the sense that it's been a documentation of their real lives and showing them as vulnerable human beings in a kitchen in a context that's, you know, very seldomly seen with these types of drag queens.
There's almost no more vulnerable position for me because I was only getting delivery while I lived in Chicago. Like, I was a kitchen virgin.
Well, and you know what? I consider you a close friend. And it, to me, it's like, you know, not having you around is very sad for me, you know, because I was like, you were one of my confidants. And, you know, whenever something went wrong, I'd be like, Joan, God, you know, remember last Christmas?
Yes, of course I remember last Christmas.
You were
an emotional wreck.
I was a mess, you know.
You were?
Yeah, I was really.
And that
like,
was
upset.
Just because of The Hateful Eight.
Mm-hmm.
I like that film.
That was a wonderful film that we saw. So also in the, I was trying to figure out where these drag queens are. 100 Drag Queens United. They're from Amsterdam, of all cities.
Yeah.
In the Netherlands, awesome. Lady Galore and all her friends did a tribute to a holiday classic songs. And it's edited to make it look like it's one single continuous shot. But it's really, it's almost like a hybrid between one of those mannequin challenge videos, but they're all singing and lip syncing. and it's fantastic. Teriyaki and other drag queens are like, let's do something like that next year. And I was like, yeah, let's. It's
well,
a
you
good
have to
idea.
Do it like now if you want it for next year, right? Or unless you want to decorate for Christmas in July or something, right?
Well, I think if you plan, I think you have to plan it and rehearse it, and then when people start putting up their Christmas decorations right after Halloween, that couple of weeks in November, that would be a good time to actually film something like that because people already have their Christmas decorations up and running, and you can film it and get it up and ready in time for the holidays.
Mm. Yes.
Speaking of mannequins, there was outside of Pittsburgh, there was these people, there was the cops got a report that they said there was an elderly woman was frozen to death in her parked car. So the police broke open the window, and then they discovered that it was actually a mannequin. And the car owner arrived, and he was absolutely incredulous, the police said, and that the guy uses the dummy for his job selling medical training aids.
You know what's horrible about that?
Hmm.
I mean, the film studios are just getting crazy with the way they promote things. Like, who even wanted to see Mannequin 2?
That is one of the greatest films of all time, I'll let you know.
Mannequin 2.
On the Move with
Kim
starring Meshach Taylor as Hollywood.
And did it have Kim Cattrall in it too, or no?
No, of course. They couldn't get her. She's a huge star.
She was a huge star.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? She's in Mannequin.
Mannequin 2.
Oh my god, Mannequin 2 does exist.
Oh yeah, girl.
The sequel to Mannequin. Mannequin 2 is most focused on Meshach Taylor's character, Hollywood, as he helps another mismatched mannequin human couple find their way.
Oh my God, leave it to me to make a joke about a movie and it's real. Jesus.
Oh my God. People haven't seen Mannequin, and this is the weirdest thing, like, you know, like Peaches Christ and a lot of other drag queens pay tribute to 80s culture and movies and stuff. Nobody has touched Mannequin. It's such a perfect movie.
Well, you know, I think the drag queen that's really done Mannequin, that's done right by Mannequin the most is Detox.
Yes.
Because she can get out there and lip sync to that, and then she just opens up her purse and like put the money in the purse.
So good.
And really, it's a testament to Detox's creativity that she's solely is the only 80s gem in the holograms aesthetic drag queen who's paying tribute, proper tribute to that classic film. It has like the cast members from the Golden Girls, Estelle Getty, Police Academy. There's a dog in the movie. It's like,
oh wow.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's
they got a dog for the movie?
Yeah, oh my God. So the police so the guy, he's the villain in the Police Academy movies. I forgot the name of the actor, but he has a dog, and the dog's like on the side of the mannequin. It's sort of the same idea like Roscoe from the Dukes of Hazzard. Flash was like, you know, whenever Flash could like thwart Boss Hogg's plans by barking. It's like, quiet, Flash.
I forgot that dog name was Flash. That's Flash. Why Silky Jumbo named his dog Flash.
The drag queen here in town had a basset hound named after the dog from the Dukes of Hazzard.
Who liked to eat balloons and condoms.
And almost died several
times. And what's
times.
The difference, really?
So Mannequin and Mannequin 2 on the Move are fantastic films, and
now available on iTunes.
They're not even available on you only can buy them like the DVDs on Amazon,
and they're probably only used.
Yeah, you know, so they're all like, scratched up, and it's
like
skips.
New.
I know, it's terrible. Add to the list of worst things of 2016. Jeez.
I'm sorry. I can't do it. Oh, man. 2016 done fucked up Mannequin 2.
Now, let me tell you something. You remember all those stupid ice bucket challenges that everyone was doing, and everyone was like, this is not going to do anything. Fuck you, you stupid vain assholes.
I did an ice bucket challenge in drag.
You did?
Well, I did. It didn't turn out great.
Oh.
You just drank the cocktail instead?
Well, my wig shielded me from the, it was so thick that I didn't even feel it.
You're like, am I even wet?
And like all two of the comments were like, you need to do this again and not actually wear that umbrella of a wig.
The wig is a protection. So everybody who did these ice bucket challenges, I guess, have funded, it raised so much money that the funds help to discover a new gene. NEK1, the gene now ranks among the most common genes that contribute to the disease, presenting scientists with a huge advance in finding a potential therapy and cure for ALS.
Yay.
Doesn't that give you so much hope? Because so many people think that's such a stupid thing, and that's such a great thing to emerge from that.
Well, part of it is illustrates how fucked up our healthcare and health research system is in the United States, that we have to have millions of people pour ice water on themselves to be able to make progress in curing a disease.
Well, it captivated people, and it captivated people's attention, and it really got them think, because it's a ridiculous thing and it's kind of funny, so people wanted to get in on it, and they're like, hey, you know what, this is a good cause, I might as well support it. Whereas you have something like this Walk for the Cure, you know, and it's just kind of like what's more boring than going for a walk? And so you have that every year, and that raises millions and millions of dollars too. But you know, where's our cure for breast cancer?
Yeah, Susan J. Komen.
You know, where
let's
is it?
Let's pour some cold water on our chests to raise money.
On our tits.
So, Joe, I bought a Christmas tree this weekend, and the salesperson asked me if I was going to put it up myself. And I told him, I said, no, you filthy cunt. I'm going to put it in the living room.
Yay.
Thank you, Internet, for a stolen joke.
That was horrible. I was like, where is this going on now?
Are you in the Christmas spirit, my dear?
I am. I actually just bought a bunch of gifts for people. And hopefully they're going to arrive on time, but maybe they won't. And that's life, and it goes on.
Now, Joe, I'm going to give you a little nature quiz here, okay? How do boa constrictors kill their prey?
By suffocating them.
Wrong.
No. What do they do? Do they send them like a mean text?
If only it were that easy. They actually, when they constrict them, they're not cutting off their breathing. They're cutting off their circulation, and their circulation causes them to pass out. And so, you know, so oh. and then they die from heart failure rather than from suffocation. But like, yeah, we always grew up thinking it was from you know, because you slowly suffocate
from breathing.
Them. Yeah, from breathing. They can't breathe and then they die. But no, it's just they. Once your circulation gets cut off because it can't move, you know, your heart's pumping and it's trying to pump your blood somewhere, but it's got no place else to go. And then it just says, you know what? Well, let's call it a day.
That trivia is just such a breath of fresh air.
Isn't it? Well, now yeah. you know.
Now more I know. I'll be sure to talk about that with the next boa constrictor I meet.
Well, you know, when you're hanging out at Christmas and your family and just, you know, things get a little dark, yeah. you can be like... You know how people really die from that? You can tell them that.
Have you guys
remember
seen,
that rough part of the holidays when all your relatives start speaking parcel tongue?
Have you guys seen this video of CeeLo Green?
No, what is it?
So this is just like posted days ago and 18 hours ago. He says he's fine. He's alive and well. But
oh,
he
no.
was in the studio engineering his latest album. And he picked up a phone call, and I guess they posted the security camera footage, and it exploded in his face, knocking him out of the chair, unconscious.
What?
His phone yeah. exploded?
Yeah. Of
what
course,
kind of phone was it?
Of course, one of those, you know, Samsung Galaxy whatever.
No.
Yeah. I was like, girl,
oh my God, he
shouldn't
has
gotten
to redo.
An iPhone. Damn. I was like.
He needs to redo his music video for Fuck You.
Have you seen those, like, phone, like, Samsung video on YouTube of the phones exploding? I'm like, I'm so
it's horrifying,
girl. It's like, dude, put it on speakerphone. It's like, I tell you. Oh my God. So CeeLo Green sending out an announcement saying he is alive and well and okay, but he definitely had to go to the hospital.
God, Jesus.
Now he looks like Seal.
Oh,
I'm just kidding, but damn.
CeeLo Green.
CeeLo
oh
Green.
My God.
Yeah, it's a terrifying video of that.
If you're sick of seeing Donald Trump in your newsfeed, they have an extension for Chrome called Make America Kittens Again. So anytime there's a photo of Donald Trump in your newsfeed or on when you're using that browser, it'll be replaced by little kittens.
But then how do you know if something important, what you're missing, you could be missing something really vital.
You still get
right?
the news article. You just don't have to look at Trump's pig face.
Oh, okay. I'm
no
I'm all in favor
all pigs
of that.
Out there.
Yeah. Are they always orange cats?
No.
That would be good.
They're little cats here and there. But I just heard this interesting fact the other day, too, that most calico kittens, you know what calico cats are, the ones that are kind of
yeah.
like spotted? They're mostly
beautiful.
Female. Isn't that
interesting.
Weird? Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know. There must be some kind of genetic predisposition or benefit to it. If you have.
We used to think it was from suffocation.
Yeah.
But now we found out that it's actually they have a different circulation thing going on.
Circulation in their womb. No, I probably there's some kind of advantage to it because you only really need like one male cat to impregnate, you know, mm-hmm. hundreds and hundreds of female cats. So that probably might be part of the reason.
Interesting.
So this is a hilarious news story. You guys, I don't follow horse races. I didn't go see the movie Seabiscuit.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess
I did.
Horse races are just like the Olympics. Like if the horse wins, mm-hmm. they test the horse for drugs
oh,
and
yeah, sure.
steroids and all this stuff. And
yeah.
I guess a racehorse called Party Till Dawn.
Ooh, I'm in.
Oh my
is
God.
A party, is a T capitalized
it
in
sure
party?
Is.
No, it's not, is it?
It tested oh positive God. For meth.
All right.
After a
oh
race
God.
Meeting in Australia, in Queensland, Australia. The positive sample for the 5-year-old horse returned after it placed second in a race. It's the second horse to show traces of the drug in Australia in just a year.
Party drugs. Party horses.
They weren't suspicious until the horse started losing all its teeth.
Stopped showing up for work.
Yeah. When stopped
cleaning
on
its stable.
But for whatever reason, their apartment was immaculate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man.
I had no idea that people, that giving horses meth made them run fast.
Oh, yeah,
or something.
Of course. Like,
someone should put their hoof down. That's all I have to say. And, you know, where's the integrity in horse racing?
I don't get it, because, like, all the other people that I know that are, like, on drugs and stuff, there's this, like, idea that doing a lot of drugs makes you sort of, like, run faster and stuff. But they're all, you know, they're on their sofa eating Doritos.
Well, there's something, you know, there's a certain amount of focus, you know, you get from meth, and maybe they just, you know, they run faster because they're more focused.
Yeah.
They actually subscribe, you know, what is it for people with attention deficit disorder? They typically subscribe them what, Adderall?
Prescribe. Yeah.
What did I say?
Subscribed.
Oh, really?
Please usually, subscribe to Adderall.
They usually prescribe them Adderall, but the science is out there that actually says that meth is safer for you than Adderall. But because there's such a stigma attached to meth, that's why they give people Adderall instead.
Well, and I hear people are like, I only do cocaine because meth is a chemical and cocaine comes from plants.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's like mixed with gasoline and meth. Lead and all sorts of, you know.
You know, it's like, listen, drugs are, you know, poisons that you inject or consume or snort in your body in order to have a temporary change of a state of mind.
There is a new drug out there, and I sent it to Foxy Kim. You know Foxy Kim, who's a local drag queen here in Chicago, because she's my resident drug expert. And so,
oh my God.
There is this drug out there, and actually, it's happened where people are dying or and they're OD'ing from it just by kind of breathing it in. And so, like,
oh
paramedics had gotten overdosed because they went into somebody's place, because even a few grains can be dangerous. And so paramedics went into this place and were, like, rescuing people, and they actually became under the, you know, they OD'd on it themselves.
The paramedics.
The paramedics did, because they breathed it in.
So it's like acid or something?
It's called carfentanil.
Carfentanil?
Okay. Yeah, carfentanil. And
where does it come from?
Well, I'm not really sure exactly where it comes from, but, like, this is from Canada. My friend from Erie shared it and said that, like, to be on the lookout for it. But then also somebody also posted that there was a death here in Chicago from it as well. You know, so the drug, it's commonly used in zoos to sedate large animals. And it's been linked to deaths of 15 people in Alberta.
Did Foxy respond to your message, or was it too late?
I think it might be too late for her. She may have, she didn't, she was just like, whatever. But no, so what some people do too is they lace marijuana with it too. So, like, if you smoke it, like, you get really fucking high, and you're like, wow, this pot's really great. And it's powder,
and then
you know?
Die.
So it's like, it's a powder, and it can be floating in the air, and just, you know, a few grains, you just breathe it in, and then, boom. So you got to be very, very careful.
Sounds like that bad M. Night Shyamalan movie, The Happening.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Where the plants are killing people with the stuff they put in the air.
Oh.
So stupid.
Well, they also have, like, what is it, naloxone, which is, like, something I think you give that to people if they OD, like, on heroin and stuff. And they want people, especially if you're in drug-fueled environments, to have some of that stuff handy so you can give it to people. Because you don't want to die from just breathing in a drug.
Did you go see Rogue One, the new Star Wars movie?
I did. I went to see it last night.
Jackie Beat posted a status update, her review on the film. She says, I don't give a fuck about Star Wars.
Well, then we'll have to pay attention to her opinion now, won't we?
But I guess, know, I was looking forward to it a lot. You know, it's sort of the prequel that we were promised by George Lucas, but never delivered.
Mm. I thought it was really great. I thought it was better than The Force Awakens.
And definitely the less you know about this movie, the more fun you'll have, especially if you're a fan of Star Wars. But one thing I want to say, it's like the writers who are developing these new Star Wars films need to stop looking for the archetypes, the Chewbacca sidekick, the wise Jedi, old man Jedi, the
C-3PO stand-in,
the villainous character with a respiratory problem that echoes Darth Vader. You know, there just seems to be like all these archetypes. You know, the C-3PO, R2-D2, sort of gay, sassy robot. You know, it's just they need to like stop relying on those archetypes and come up with new archetypes. That's why we love
stop the original. Relying on that archetype.
And you remember mostly, the kids in the hall from the 80s and 90s, the guy who was like, I crush your head, crush your head.
Yeah,
that's you should just watch that video before you go see the movie and you'll have a good laugh. Yeah. That's I can't tell you anymore.
I'm also just like fingers crossed that I can have another Star Wars movie that doesn't focus on the Death Star.
Yeah.
At some point in my life, just because so many of them are about Death Stars.
Now, one thing I want to see in a future Star Wars movie, because they haven't really killed off Darth Vader in the prequels or the new movies, because they're going to be making more prequels. Like there's a Han Solo movie. And I'm sure Darth Vader will be in that too. And I want him to lean forward and says,
my young man, they cut off my arms and legs, but they left my dick on.
Yeah, they burned them off. Because I got to say, like, you know, there's some scenes, I don't want to give away too much, but Darth Vader's sexy. He's definitely got this bondage kind of. And I see some guys at the gym wearing, like, you know, respirator masks. And ask them,
really?
Like, yeah, they look like Darth Vader. They're doing, like, cardio with a respirator mask. And I'm like, why are you doing that? And they're like, oh, because it trains my lungs to do more with less. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing too with Darth Vader though too is I feel like there's a camp quality to him because with that outfit and there's
the
scene
cape
with the cape and where he's like the walking cape, down 100. And you just kind of see him like he almost shimmies a little bit and you're just like ah and you're laughing. But you know what
I was thinking about that.
Yeah. About what? His little shimmy?
About capes in general in the movie. Mm-hmm. There's so many people with these sassy ass capes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, capes are fierce, honey.
I mean, I know that, and that's like an unequivocal truth.
You see
the world.
A cape? Donald Trump and Melania are going to be wearing capes in their inauguration.
Yeah. Oh my god, I would
sure
live
hope
for
so.
That. Honestly.
Well, you know, back in the day, it was like, I think before people really knew how to sew very well or make coats, the capes were just kind of like a nice, easy thing to do. But also, too, I remember seeing a special on like ancient warriors, and they said that the capes like were great for guys who are on horseback trying to escape enemies, because if they're shooting arrows at them, the arrows would often get caught up in the cape rather than hitting them. Now, what did you think about seeing like Peter Cushing, who's been dead
CGI,
who's been dead now for how many years?
I hated it.
Did
I'm
you?
Sorry. I did. I actually really, really hated the fake CGI people.
Yeah. Who was it besides him and...
Don't give it away, Mark.
Okay. So why did Peter Cushing freak you out?
And the other characters that make
an appearance. Characters.
They just don't look real. They
you didn't
straight
think?
Up... They don't look real enough next to real people. And... I mean, like, the visual effects are so amazing in that movie that it's, like, kind of distracting to me.
Mm.
But I don't know. That's my opinion, and I'm sure other people are not distracted by that at all.
I was looking at him, and I was kind of thinking to myself, well, he looks cinematic, you know? But
he looks better than the real thing
Well, the real thing is rotten in the ground somewhere. But it was just kind of like, it's so of course he's going to look better than that. But the, I don't know what they did with him. He might be, you know, ashes somewhere. But the thing is I thought he looked pretty good, you know?
I would have liked if they had used, like, a puppet or something. Like, that would have been more fun for me.
Yeah?
Yeah, like a Yoda, yeah.
Yeah, I would think that'd be fun. Or I don't know, part of me is like, half the fun of watching these movies is that they're, like, I kept waiting for the themes... You know, and the only time that I recognized the theme was when Darth Vader made an appearance and they're like, dun, 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 dun.
Oh, yeah.
But
totally.
But the problem was that, like, the other themes just sounded like your grandma trying to sing the Star Wars theme, but she couldn't remember it. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's like, da, 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 you know. So it's kind of like, look, just come up with new melodies. It's not, it's like, either give me the Star Wars theme or don't, but don't, you know, the Rogue One theme that they had was such a, like, ripoff of the original Star Wars theme that it didn't feel like standing on its own, you know? And that's, there's a subreddit called, The Empire Was Right About Everything. The Empire did
nothing. Of course there is.
The Empire did nothing wrong, which yes. if you guys are fans of Star Wars, it's hilarious. Especially, it's comparing American imperialism now with Donald Trump as a it's Russian so puppet. And saying that the Star Wars films is just terrorist propaganda.
Well, have you seen that and people are boycotting this film?
They are. They always boycott. They boycotted Lady Ghostbusters.
Right, but on similar grounds.
Because it's too racially diverse?
Yes, that's what I read.
Oh, brother.
I'm just like, well, okay, who cares?
Well, like, I don't think the humans, like Luke and Han and Leia, who are white people actors, they're not humans, you know?
Right.
Like, I don't think, like, any of the, in the Star Wars verse, they have dicks or anything.
What? Of course they do.
they lay eggs.
I don't know. I've seen some pretty interesting things online.
Yeah. Nude
some, like, artwork.
I'm like, in the future, will we see, like, their junk, their genitals?
I would wager not, just because Star Wars has a history of being, like, a family property, and now it's owned by Disney.
Well, so and
Disney gets behind dicks, then we're not seeing them.
Listen, progress happens, and if a franchise lasts long enough, you know, in the future, we're going to be embracing pornography and sex in films much more than we do today. And, yeah. We in the past, you know, it was a big deal to have one black actor, Lando, you know, Billy Dee Williams play Lando Calrissian. Now,
right.
Most of the cast is very racially diverse, right? So,
of course, yeah.
In the future, maybe we'll get over our sex hangups and we'll see, like, you know, somebody boning one of those CGI characters and Listen, making their dicks big or something.
I'm in total agreement. I want to see Walt Disney's cryogenically frozen icicle just as much as you. And I'm sure one day we will.
Zippity doodah. That's not going to Disney's happen. Dong was Unzip big all it. Along. And it was shaped like it. Mickey's nose.
So oh my goodness.
Have you been to Disneyland, right? In California, if you stand in the right place, you can Mickey's silhouette and Disney's silhouette line up so it looks like Disney has this schlong boner. Yeah.
Oh, I have not been to Disneyland. That sounds great, though.
It's one of the greatest things.
It's one of those hidden Mickeys, they like to call it.
So we are just days. It is December 19th. There's just a couple more days left in 2016. RuPaul's Drag Race has not announced anything.
No.
Mm-hmm.
But we have some dirt that we can share, but we can't say any names. But one of your favorite drag queens from past seasons will be back.
That's the rumor, because it's been all over the Reddits.
And another queen from Cooking with Drag Queens will make her RuPaul's Drag Race debut. But we can't
Isn't
say
that
who it is.
The NPR thing, right?
Yeah, the NPR where they're like, we heard voices.
Yeah.
Right. I've heard that. I think it's pretty much 100%, isn't it?
And she was going, like, in the NPR video, the audio, they were like going, mi cucu, mis amores. I'm like, I have no idea who that is.
Oh, we don't know. No way.
Could be anybody.
Yeah. And we have possibly a Cooking with Drag Queens episode coming down the pipe. If my computer and my hard drive, I was like, I don't know what was going on. It was a gremlin, honey. It was crazy.
Man, I'm a virus to your system.
You are very, you're infectious.
What is it
you said? You're a drag queen with bad credit and
and herpes.
Oh. I'm like, contagious, so you're basically
girl.
Like all drag queens.
I don't know. I don't think I'm like all drag queens.
Well, drag queens have a reputation of, making every penny count and being people persons.
Mm, yes.
Being very resourceful.
Yeah. My credit card doubled my limit and I'm already through it. Yeah. You know, like,
that's how they get you. They keep doubling that limit and then suddenly you're like, what do you mean I owe $1 million?
Are you doing any drag down there in Tennessee?
I haven't done any public performances. I've been doing video work and working on the Lip Sync for Your Life All Stars season, which was great. Everybody who hasn't checked it out should check it out because it was kind of amazing.
Is it on the regular Lip Sync for Your Life Reddit?
Subreddit.
It is. We haven't announced a winner yet, but every video has been turned in. It is almost over.
Well, shouldn't the queen that won last contest be organizing this one? What happened?
But it's the All-Stars.
Oh.
All the past winners got together and organized an All-Stars season, and we all hosted it together, which has been complicated, but also really great, because I don't think it's so much work, and one person, it would have been kind of unfair. But Marcella Fox will be hosting the next season, and I assume that's going to happen sometime next year.
That's fantastic. I really enjoy the videos that come out of that competition.
Me too.
I wish there were like more media attention about it. It's like, you know, and thankfully, like, Dragula's kind of getting some media attention. I don't know if you've been watching that. It's the Boulay brothers.
I haven't been watching it, and I need to catch up on it.
So Boulay brothers are nightclub drag personalities out of L.A. And in order to promote their wonderful competitions and nights, Dragula, they did a series that's very much inspired by RuPaul's Drag Race. The main difference is that all the drag queens are as rotten as they want to be, and they literally torture the drag queens within the realm of legality. Mm. So any further, the drag queens would probably have a lawsuit. They would have a lawsuit in their hands. And instead of eliminating the drag queens, they exterminate them by murdering them on camera.
I love that. That sounds great. I'm gonna check it out.
The production values are very raw. Be prepared, but it is extremely satisfying, especially if you're a fan of drag and a friend of RuPaul's Drag Race. It's very fun and satisfying to watch, and reminds you that there's a lot of other sides to LGBT performance and drag that don't get explored on RuPaul's Drag Race. And it's nice to see those elements celebrated and augmented in that series.
Cool. Sounds good.
Yeah, honey. That not 2016 wasn't full of all awful things, you know.
You know, and some people made
I mean, that's real.
Amazing ideas of self discovery have happened this year.
And guess which podcast won a People's Choice? I'm sorry, not the Wowie Awards.
The Wowie. We actually got the award now too.
Yeah.
It wasn't Fresh Air.
No, it was not Fresh Air.
Now, I took a sneak peek and, well, a little bit, and I didn't actually like look at it, but I held the the trophy, and it is literally a soup can. So if you get hungry, because they didn't send any money.
So there's actually still soup in it?
Yeah, there's still food in it. So if you can eat your trophy if you get hungry enough.
Oh, that's just going to explode someday in the Armageddon.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Well, listen, if Trump gets us into a nuclear holocaust, we can eat
our Wowie Award.
Our Wowie Award and survive.
and I'm sure Leonardo DiCaprio will be jealous because he can't eat that Oscar. But you guys.
Yeah, but you can put the Oscar in other parts of your body.
Ooh.
Joan, I want to tell you, no matter where your journey takes you and your exploration of gender and your gender identity, we're with you there 100% of the way.
Thank you. I appreciate that, guys.
Of course.
Thank you.
I have no... What is this?
I have no son. I have a daughter. I have no son. I have no daughter. I have someone who's still figuring it out. And that's okay, too.
Yeah, baby. It's like you could be anybody you want to be. You know, maybe the thing you're figuring out is like that you can always... You know, change your mind anytime you want, and that's okay too. It's your body, it's your life, it's your identity to do with as you please. It's like this idea that somehow you have to be this fixed thing or somehow, you know. And I think for a lot of gay men, I think it's been hard for them to embrace the rise in trans visibility fully, because we've experienced a lot of ourselves sort of soft peddling our sexuality by saying we're bisexual. And so when we hear somebody saying they're bi or that they're genderqueer or they're not, you know, something specific, something defined, it makes us think that that person may be, you know, feeling it out or not ready to be brave and name it and claim it. And that's okay too. You know, it's like, We need to forgive ourselves for that ambiguity in our lives. And, you know, and maybe later in your life, you might have a different thought about it. You know, the problem is that also in the fight for LGBT equality, we've also had to fight people who have said it's just a phase.
Mm.
And people who are trying to cure the gay away, like our potentially newly elected Vice President Mike Pence.
Mm.
Yeah.
And so, it's important to have a really nuanced conversation on all this stuff because, you know, we need to inform and educate ourselves on what it means to be a nonconformist when it comes to gender and sexual identity.
Right. Exactly. And I mean, I'll just reiterate it. There's no rule book to any of this, which is both comforting and terrifying on some level. And I mean, like, I apologize if I'm like inarticulate about it because I have not really talked to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You're the first person where like the first person you've said about this or
no, I've talked, I started a conversation with one of my Reddit sisters like a week and a half ago about it. We talked for a long time. And essentially both came to the conclusion that like, it's a topic worth further exploration. And there's no pressing need for any definitive answer because it's not life or death.
And there's not any rule book, like you said, but there is a workbook. I suggest there is.
And there's a lot of homework in there.
But Kate Bornstein has a wonderful book, and I actually did a second edition because she did an update to it, and called My New Gender Workbook, A Step-by-Step Guide to Achieving World Peace Through Gender Anarchy and Sex Positivity. And I've heard from a lot of of fans of Kate who've said that her original book, My Gender Workbook, really was very helpful with them sorting through their identity, their gender identity, and figuring out just who exactly they were.
Right. Well, I'll look at that. That sounds like a good place to continue.
You can rent it on Kindle.
Ooh.
Rent it? You mean buy it?
Well, you can buy it, rent it. You can rent
a book?
You can rent a book.
That sucks.
Yeah, right?
I'm like, listen, if you're buying... what is that renting a book?
And it's renting is $12. If you want to buy it, it's $31.
Oh my God. Kate, you drive the price down.
But you also get the paperback.
My God. She's got it on paperback?
You can also get it from other sellers too. But
all right. Mm-hmm. Well, the girls got to get paid. But at the same time, damn. I got to start putting out books myself.
Otherwise, you can get a used book for $30.
It's actually worth every penny.
That book will probably save you 6 or 7 visits to a therapist. So
which is great because I'm about to not have insurance. We should get that book.
Let's get Joan that book. Somebody out there, write to Joan.
I'll start a GoFundMe. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding because I need to get my lips done first. I was hoping to get that GoFundMe out of the way.
What are you doing?
Nothing. I'm just making a joke. I'm sorry.
Hysterical. Well, I noticed a lot of these drag queens, when they get on Drag Race and they start making some money, they start getting like,
lip plumping.
Brazilian plastic surgery. And when they get booked to Brazil, they take a extra couple of weeks down there and they...
And while you're down there, if you're Gia Gunn, you can also be on a reality show.
Oh, yeah.
Gia's basically expatriated to Chile, and now she's like a thing in the Chilean Latin American news. Like, it's a huge show, and every night she's like the most hated drag queen in all of Latin America.
It's sort of appropriate because she was always really chilly to me. So I'm happy for her.
Absolutely. Oh, Joan Waters, you are a thirst quenching, a Christmas miracle. Thank you so much for being part of our lives. We cherish you.
Thank you.
Adore you so much.
Wish you likewise. The best down in Memphis.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Prove it.
Prove what?
Prove what?
You like me? Prove it. Show me.
The feeling's mutual, unlike the funds.
Don't tell me you love me. Show me you love me. Make me feel it. As Eartha Kitt would say. And the way to show us your love is by sharing the show with your friends on social media.
Well, you know I will.
Making a one-time donation to feastoffun.com/donate puts some coins in our stocking, honey.
Some holiday cheer.
Some holiday cheer. And consider becoming a Plus subscriber. You can access 12 years of amazing podcasts and interviews with Joan Waters and many other fantastic people on our site, feastoffun.com/plus. You love the show? Prove it.
We also have t-shirts, aprons, and tote bags for sale in our store at feastoffun.com/store. Get your Cooking with Drag Queens merchandise or a Hunty t-shirt. Or Not Shaving gives me more time for misbehaving.
And all kinds of other designs.
Mm-hmm. If you act now and have $20, we will send Kim Cattrall to your house.
She's not busy?
Don't check us on that. Just send the $20.
Yeah.
Thanks, Joan.
Thank you guys so much. It was so fun talking.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'm almost kind of sad. It's the podcast coming over.
Joan
and the
Waters
year's coming to it. Yeah.
Lives in Memphis, Tennessee.
Memphis, Tennessee.
Walking in Memphis. I'm sure they're sick of that song down there.
Yeah. I was walking in Memphis with Joan Waters trying to get home from the bar.
It's probably like all the drag queens come to town and they lip sync to that song. Like the girls come and like they lip sync like stuff from the musical Chicago here. All that jazz.
Oh,
like,
my God.
We've seen it 100 million times. Please stop.
Oh, Bob the drag queen, speaking of a basic bitch from New York who comes to Chicago to lip sync to Chicago, the musical.
Ooh, remember, she did not do that alone. She
with
did Thor,
G. Thor. Yeah.
So, yeah.
She did that. I have it on. I have the receipts. I have it on video, people.
Basic.
I'm just kidding. But she got kicked off of Grindr.
Oh, yeah. For impersonating.
Herself. Yeah.
You know?
And I'm like, is that a problem for like these drag queens that get on TV and kind of become famous? And
you know what? They were probably rooting for somebody at the technical desk was probably a fan of Kim Chi's and was just like, you know what? You may have won, but you are not getting any dick. So there you go.
And she's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, she's pissed. She's like posting that on social media. Merry Christmas, Bob. We love you, honey. Come back to the Five and Dime, honey. We cherish you. We love to seeing that you're traveling around the world. Come and share your adventures with us. And hey, guys, we want to remind you that there's just a couple more days left in 2016. And, you know, this too shall pass. We have each other. Our community and our diversity is our greatest asset. And and for us in this podcast, you, our audience, are our greatest asset. We cherish you. We love you. And we thank you so much for listening to this show. Coming up, we have just a couple more episodes left for 2016, right?
We have Meredith and Brian Sweeney coming over. And then we also have the eighth installment?
It's the eighth installment of Incredibly Strange Christmas Music.
Woo-hoo!
And this year, honey, we are getting down to the hoes for the holidays, gold diggers, and people who are all about the money, honey. Mm-hmm. So some famous entertainers, Christmas music is always sort of wholesome. It's about Jesus and the religion and the church and giving to each other.
Joyousness.
But for some reason, the holidays also brings out
greedy motherfuckers.
Greedy people who bought hold back the cheer. Just give me a 5-pound box of money this year at Christmas. And so we're going to be playing some songs by some fantastic entertainers who are all about the money this holiday season. And you're going to be shocked and surprised that some of these people are not some unusual culprits. All about the money. And the sex.
Yes.
And hanging the balls on your tree.
I want in a box underneath the tree.
That's right, people. So that's coming up just a couple days from now. So thank you guys so much for listening. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Happy holidays.